Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, November 1st, 2023. Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. That gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and the spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Article from Hal Lindsey is entitled Spasms of Evil. On September 16th in Palmdale, California, a man drove up beside a marked Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department patrol car. Then he shot and killed the deputy inside. The murder took place just feet away from the Palmdale Sheriff's Station. A suspect was arrested, and in court he pled not guilty by reason of insanity. And that's where we have gotten to in the United States of America. You can murder anyone, plead not guilty because you're insane. Well, there are a lot of more and more insane people all the time in America. But when you commit a capital crime and murder, you should be executed, whether you think you're insane or the laws are so complicated today everybody is getting off on claiming that they are insane. This is not unusual. Not anymore in America. In Florida, a video shows a high school football player ripping off a fallen opponent's helmet and then beating him over the head with it again and again and again, resulting in slurred speech and dizziness of the individual. Both Republican and Democratic politicians have recently been caught in horrific lies and in actions that demean our nation. Even in the highest levels of government, regardless of whether they carry the label liberal or conservative, politicians are acting in increasingly self-centered ways. And they viciously attack anyone who questions their despicable actions. And then there are the schools. They are not just letting our kids down, they're pushing them down, pushing their heads down through the dirt at their feet. Much of the media now call it a book ban when someone suggests we limit children's access to pornography. Now, I don't know what it was like when you went to school. I didn't go to school to study pornography. It never happened. Now, it's in the schools all over the place, and if a parent disapproves, they call it a book ban. The head of the American Library Association, the head of the American Library Association describes herself as a Marxist lesbian. Well, let's take the kids to the library. At the Socialism 2023 conference in Chicago, she said, public education needs to be a site of socialist organizing. And socialism is a vicious and satanic evil. There have always been murders, violence, and extremism, but not in such overwhelming numbers as today in America. And these are symptoms of a mental health crisis overwhelming America. Other symptoms include the number of people on mind-altering drugs, both legal and illegal, widespread depression, rising suicide rates, and the mad quest for escapism. Despite the prevalence of social media, and partly because of it, people feel increasingly isolated and deeply lonely. Violence is becoming so commonplace that now we are simply ignoring it and walking on by. These things happen to a society that calls evil good and good evil. Romans 1, 18 to 28 describes our situation in stunning detail. It talks about suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. And this is done by the refusal to acknowledge God, not even giving God simple thanks. It speaks of worshiping nature rather than God. The terrible consequence of such actions means that our society is given over to vile passions and uncleanness. The once solid tower that is America wobbles with every blow. Our children should be the happiest in the history of the world, but by every metric, they are miserable. Sadness overtakes people of all ages as they circle the drain in their vain pursuit of lascivious pleasure. Like candy for breakfast, it may briefly taste good, but it does not satisfy. America's problems are not America's alone. These evils infect every nation on the face of the earth. But our story is not over. Remember Nineveh, a nation that turned back to God. Biblical repentance, spiritual revival. In fact, that was in our class last week, in our Joel class last week. Jonah 3, 1 through 10. Nineveh, God told them they had 40 days and he was going to destroy them all. They'd be totally destroyed. And there was a great spiritual revival. They turned back to the living and true God, and they were delivered. Instead of reaping destruction for its evil and sins, they received grace. And remember that as individuals and families, we can stand secure in Christ, even as the society around us crumbles apart. Don't lose hope. Don't walk in despair. But understand the times. The Bible told us what these days would be like. In the study of end times prophecy, as we are studying in the book of Joel, and when we finish Joel, I'm hot and heavy in the next book. Haven't got too many people putting in for the lottery as to what book that will be. You win $1 million. Pastor Olson will write the check. It will bounce higher than... Not too many suggestions so far. Don't lose hope. But understand the times. The Bible told us what these days would be like. In the study of end times prophecy, it's easy to look at prophesied events like an astronaut out in space station looking down on a hurricane. But living through it on the ground, well, that's a totally different experience. Still, the believer in Jesus Christ, who is living the spiritual life, who has developed personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ, he has absolute, total confidence in God and in his word to meet your needs in these times. And I expect all of you to pass these tests. Jesus told us about these days. And he said, keep in mind, John 14, 1 and 3, let not your hearts be troubled. I am coming again. Joel chapter 2. Wahoo, we're at the turning point. Joel 2, 18 to 27, we're now at the turning point of the book of Joel. Now we are at the point of the result of a spiritual revival. Joel also has the same, lived the same time as Isaiah. They are both dealing with the southern kingdom Judah and the four cycles of national discipline they've gone through, and they're right on the verge of the fifth cycle of national discipline. But the people, there was a spiritual revival. Many unbelievers came to know Christ as their Savior. And then those who were believers in reversionism, they rebounded They got back into fellowship with God, and they changed their thinking. That's the word repent in the Hebrew, shuv, in the Greek, metanoeo. And it means to change your thinking. That's what repentance is. You change your thinking. And in this country, believers in this country need to change their thinking. They need to turn from negative volition to positive volition. They need to change from arrogance to humility. And that's what happened in Joel's day. That's what happened in Isaiah's day. And when they repented and changed their thinking, they got into Bible, they were in Bible class. Every time Isaiah taught, they were there. Every time Joel taught, they were there. Nothing could keep them from it. Because they knew they were living on the edge of the volcano. And here came Sennacherib and the Assyrian. They had gone through and destroyed all the countries around. And they came down to Jerusalem and surrounded Jerusalem. And they were going to destroy Jerusalem and the southern kingdom, Judah. But there was a great, great spiritual revival. The believers rebounded, turned back to God and the Word of God. Turned away from arrogance to humility, negative volition to positive volition. And they were in Bible class. Nothing could keep them from listening to the teaching of the Word of God from Isaiah and from Joel. And there was a spiritual revival. And the pivot of mature believers grew quickly. And as a result of that, the Lord Jesus Christ delivered them. And in one evening, the Lord Jesus Christ came and destroyed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. The fifth cycle of discipline was over. And Sennacherib turned around and went back to Nineveh. The nation was delivered as a result of the spiritual revival. So, Joel 2, verses 18 to 27, we now have forgiveness and restoration as a result of spiritual revival. So, this section marks a turning point in the argument of the book of Joel. It describes God's response to the nation's spiritual revival and repentance. That's verse 18. It records the Lord's comforting words to His people, verses 19 to 27. The effects of the locust invasion are now reversed. Economic disaster is replaced with economic prosperity. That's verse 25. And the military invasion of the Assyrians is stopped, and the Lord Jesus Christ has destroyed 185,000 Assyrian military. That's verse 20. And prophetically, this refers to the destruction of the invading army of the King of the North in the tribulation. And then in verses 21 to 27, we have the blessing of the millennial kingdom are then described. So here is the turning point of the book of Joel. Forgiveness and restoration as a result of spiritual revival. Verse 18, the Lord's gracious response to the nation's spiritual revival is now given. And I presented to you a question last time as we came to the end of the class. The question was, will God answer the repentant prayer of spiritually mature believers for a nation that is marked out for judgment? And I pointed out the cynic says no. The religious person says, I hope so. But the spiritually mature believer responds with, God will. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. And the winner believer knows that. The key is the integrity of God. So the Bible documents that God will, and that's where we studied Jeremiah 18:5-8, Amos 5:4, Jonah chapter 3, 1 through 10, 2 Chronicles 7:13-14. So the answer to the question, yes, God will stay his hand of judgment toward a people who turn back to God and his word. Spiritual revival. Who rebound, who turn from negative volition to positive volition, from arrogance to humility, and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, verse 18, exegesis. Then the Lord was jealous for his land. This is the PL imperfect of the verb kana, with the third person singular masculine subject, plus the tetragrammaton, plus the preposition lam with prefix to the noun eretz, with the third person singular masculine suffix. Kana. Looks like that in the Hebrew. That's Q-A-N-A, Aleph. Kana. Couple of things on this verb. Kana, one, means to be jealous of. To be jealous of, to be envious of. To be zealous for. To excite to jealous anger. To provoke to jealous anger. These are all meanings of the verb kana. Two, when man is the subject, jealousy is the strongest of all mental attitude sins. But man isn't the subject in this verse. God is the subject. But when man is the subject, jealousy is the strongest of all mental attitude sins. Three, however, when God is the subject, as in our verse, jealousy is an anthropopathism, describing the function of the essence of God, specifically describing the function of the holiness of God. And the Bible talks about the holiness of God. God is holy. Yes, he is. That's absolutely true. And that refers to the fact God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. That is the holiness of God. So when God is the subject, jealousy is an anthropopathism describing the function of the essence of God, specifically his absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Four, what the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. What the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. Five, what the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. And that's where we are here in Joel 2. We're at the turning point, spiritual revival. Repentance, biblical repentance, change of thinking. They have changed their thinking. They've turned back to God and the Word of God. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. Six, however, what the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. You see, in Jeremiah's day, the people in Israel had a phenomenal Bible teacher, Jeremiah, a faithful servant of the Lord. But in Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah warned them. Jeremiah taught the same thing that Joel taught and same thing that Isaiah taught. He taught that they had to change their thinking. They had to shuv. They had to repent. They had to turn back to God and His Word. And they didn't. They didn't. They they didn't go to Bible class. They hated Jeremiah. They didn't even want to go to class. They didn't want to listen to what he taught. And they rejected what he taught. They were arrogant. They were negative. They were living in the cosmic system. And they had this phenomenal Bible teacher, Jeremiah. And he taught the same thing that Joel and Isaiah taught. But they did not repent. They did not turn back to God and His Word. And as a result of that, God brought Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans, brought them down to the southern kingdom, Judah, and they destroyed the temple, destroyed Jerusalem. They slaughtered the people. They slaughtered the old men. They raped the women and killed them. They slaughtered the babies and the children. They were no different than Hamas today. Hamas is viciously evil, slaughtering babies, burning innocent people in their homes, destroying them. Most vicious evil ever. The things that they have done, Hamas and Hezbollah, it's so horrible that even people who were part of Hamas can't even describe it. It's so horrific. The evil of it, the satanic function of it, it's the lowest, lowest ever in the history of mankind. The Chaldeans slaughtered the Jewish people. And then those few survivors went on a death march back to Babylon. And they were in slavery for 70 years. They didn't repent. They didn't turn back to God and His Word. They hated God's servant, Jeremiah. They hated what God's servant taught. They didn't want to hear what God's servant taught. And they were destroyed, the fifth cycle of national discipline. So, what the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. 7. When the client nation to God is in apostasy, then the justice of God brings judgment. The five cycles of national discipline. When the client nation to God is in apostasy, then the justice of God brings judgment. The five cycles of national discipline. Eight. When the client nation to God repents, spiritual revival, and turns back to God and His Word, then the justice of God brings blessing. When the client nation to God repents and turns back to God and His Word, then the justice of God brings blessing. 9. Since the subject of Kana is the Tetragrammaton, the holiest name for God in the Old Testament scriptures, oftentimes brought over into English, Jehovah. You actually pronounce it in the Hebrew, it would be Yahweh. The Orthodox Jews would never pronounce His name. They thought it was too holy. So every time they saw the Tetragrammaton, they read Adonai. Since the subject of Kana is the Tetragrammaton, the Lord, then obviously it's not referring to the mental attitude sin of jealousy. For it is blasphemy to even imply that God sins. the PL stem, the PL stem is the intensive stem of the Hebrew, and therefore this is intensified jealousy. The imperfect tense is preceded by the vav conversive, and the vav conversive converts the imperfect to a perfect. And then the preposition lamed, El Shavah, means two or four. Here we'll translate it four. And then the noun Eretz. Aleph, E-R-E-T-S. Eretz. Eretz literally means land. Third person singular masculine suffix. His land. His land is Israel. The Lord's land is Israel. So the corrected translation, the Lord was intensely jealous for his land, Israel. The Lord was intensely jealous for his land, Israel. So, one, the Lord's jealousy is his tremendous devotion and loyalty toward his land, his people. The Lord's jealousy is his tremendous devotion and loyalty to his land, his people. Two, Israel is the Lord's possession. Israel is the Lord's own inheritance. And we saw that in verse 17. Verse 17, when it says, between the temple porch and the altar, let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep, and let them keep on praying. O Lord, look down on your people with compassion, and do not make your inheritance, Israel, to become an object of reproach, to become a byword among the nations. Why should they keep on saying among the people, where is their God? Your inheritance. Israel is the Lord's possession. Israel is the Lord's inheritance. Verse 17. Israel is the Lord's treasured possession. 3. And therefore, the Lord protects Israel from his, through his, well, the word here, jealousy, his righteousness and justice. Now, this is documented in many other places in the Old Testament. Let's look at some of those places. First of all, let's turn to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 5. This is what the sovereign Lord says. In my burning zeal, and that burnt, the translated burning zeal, that's our verb, the very verb we have, that's kana. Right there. Kana. This is our verb. In my kana, burning zeal, I have spoken against the rest of the nations and against all Edom. For with glee and with malice in their hearts, they made my land their own possession, so that they might plunder its pasture land. Therefore prophesy concerning the land of Israel, and say to the mountains and the hills, to the ravines and the valleys, This is what the sovereign Lord says. I speak in my jealous wrath. There's our verb kana again. Kana. I speak in my jealous wrath because you have suffered the scorn of the nations. Turn over to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 14. Then the angel who was speaking to me said, proclaim this word. This is what the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Tsevaoth, and literally it means the Lord of the armies. The Lord of the armies. Or sometimes it's translated the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Tsevaoth. This is what the Lord Almighty, the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth says. I am very jealous. I am very jealous for Jerusalem and Zion. There's our verb, same verb, kana. I am very jealous for Jerusalem and Zion, but I am very angry with the nations. The nations that feel secure, I was only a little angry, but they, the nations, added to their destruction. Turn over to Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah 8, verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, came to me. And this is what the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Zion, kana. This is our same verb, kana. I am burning with jealousy for her. This is what the Lord says. I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. This is the second advent of Jesus Christ and the millennial kingdom. And dwell in Jerusalem. And then Jerusalem will be called the city of truth. And the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the holy mountain. So the Lord's jealousy, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice protects Israel. Corrected translations, verse 18 so far. The Lord was intensely jealous for his land, Israel. And then we have in the King James, and pitied his people. Well, this is a pitiful translation. This is the Kal imperfect of Kamal with the Vav conversive plus the preposition al joined by a makef to the noun am with the third person singular masculine suffix. The verb Kamal does not mean to pity. It looks like this in the Hebrew. C-H-A-M-A-L, Kamal. And Brown, Driver, and Briggs, The Hebrew Lexicon, page 328, tells us that Kamal means to have compassion. And that's the best way to translate Kamal, to have compassion. And once again, this is the answer to the prayer that we saw in verse 17. Between the temple porch and the altar, let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep. Let them keep on praying. O Lord, look upon your people with compassion. So this is the answer to the prayer that of verse 17, those who have turned back to God and His Word, spiritual revival. The Vav conversive once again converts the imperfect into a perfect. And then the preposition al. See, that's my deacon loves to be prepositional. He hates to be negative al. This is prepositional. Preposition now means on or upon, and then the noun om. I-N-A-M, and om is the word for people or nation. Third person singular masculine suffix, his people, his nation, and that's the Lord's people, Israel. So the Lord was intensely jealous for His land, Israel, and He had compassion on His people, the Jewish people. One. The Lord answered the prayers of verse 17. He heard the prayers of His people who had repented and turned back to God and His Word, spiritual revival. The Lord answered the prayers of verse 17. He heard the prayers of His people who had repented and turned back to God and His Word, spiritual revival. The Lord was intensely jealous for His land, Israel, and He had compassion on His people, the Jewish people. Two, therefore, He had compassion on them. Therefore, He had compassion on them. Turn over to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Verse 15. Isaiah 49, verse 15. There is an analogy made here. For you ladies who have had children, you'll appreciate this. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I, the Lord, Jesus Christ, I will not forget you, the Jewish people in Israel. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. In this passage, the Lord is more sensitive to the cry of Israel than a mother is for her child. In fact, God says a mother might forget to show compassion on her nursing child, but the Lord will not forget Israel, ever. So concerned is God for Israel that He has even engraved their name upon the palms of His hand. Point three. God is touched deeply by the affliction of His people, Israel. God is touched deeply by the affliction of His people, Israel. Turn over to Isaiah 63. Isaiah chapter 63. Now remember, Isaiah is a contemporary of Joel. They're both teaching and the Lord's servants at the same time. Isaiah 63, verse 7. I shall make mention of the grace. Loving, you might have loving kindness. The Hebrew word is kesev. C-H-E-S-E-D. That is the Hebrew word for grace. Sometimes it's translated loving kindness. I shall make mention of the grace, the loving kindness of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has granted them according to his compassion and according to the multitude of his, and there's the word kesed, loving kindness and grace. For he said, surely they are my people. The Jewish people, they are my people. Sons who will not deal falsely. So he became their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them, delivered them. In his love and in his mercy, he redeemed them, and he lifted them and carried them all the days of old. So God is touched deeply by the affliction of his people Israel, Isaiah 63:7-9. 4. God loves Israel so much that he is intensely jealous for his nation. And that's our verse. Verse 18, the Lord was intensely jealous for his land, Israel, and he has compassion on his people, the Jewish people. So God loves Israel so much that he is intensely jealous for his nation. Joel 2:18, our verse. 5, his eye, the omniscience of God, is continually, always on Israel in protective care. The omniscience of God, the eye of God, is always on Israel in protective care. Turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verse 12, a land, Israel, for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord, the omniscience of God, the eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, always on Israel, from the beginning even to the end of the year. Always. So the omniscience of God, the eyes of God are always on Israel in protective care. Deuteronomy 11:12. 6. In Joel 2:18, we see the powerful and effective prayers of a people who have repented, who have changed their thinking and turned back to God and his word, who have changed from negative volition to positive volition, who have changed from arrogance to humility. So in Joel 2:18, we see the powerful and effective prayers of a people who has changed their thinking, repented, turned back to God and his word. Spiritual revival. 7. The Lord heard these prayers. And he answered them, showing compassion to his people and delivering them from destruction. The Lord heard these prayers, and he answered them, showing compassion to his people and delivering them from destruction. So again, verses 17 and 18. Between the temple porch and the altar, let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep, and let them keep on praying, O Lord, look upon your people with compassion, and do not make your inheritance, Israel, to become an object of reproach, to become a byword among the nations. Why should they keep on saying among the peoples, where is their God? And here's the turning point, spiritual revival. They listened to Joel and Isaiah. The Lord was intensely jealous for his land Israel, and he had compassion on his people, the Jewish people. One. Now in Joel 2, verse 19, we have the removal of Israel's national discipline and the restoration of blessing and prosperity. Now in Joel 2:19, we have the removal of Israel's national discipline and the restoration of blessing and prosperity. Two, God heard the prayers of a repentant people, and he removed the curse and judgment and brought healing to the land. God heard the prayers of a repentant people, and he removed the curse and the judgment and brought healing to the land. Three. Now remember, in prophecy you have a near fulfillment, far fulfillment. In the near fulfillment, verses 19 to 27 refers to deliverance from the fourth cycle of national discipline, the economic disaster of the locust invasion, and the restoration of economic prosperity, blessing to Israel, the client nation to God. So in the near fulfillment, verses 19 to 27 refers to deliverance from the fourth cycle of national discipline, the economic disaster of the locust invasion, and the restoration of economic prosperity and blessing to Judah, the southern kingdom, the client nation to God. Four. Also, in the near fulfillment of verse 20, it refers to the deliverance from the fifth cycle of national discipline, deliverance from the military invasion of Sennacherib and the Assyrian army. Also, in the near fulfillment of verse 20, it refers to deliverance from the fifth cycle of national discipline, the military invasion of Sennacherib and the Assyrian army. And Isaiah documents this in Isaiah 37, 36 through 38. Isaiah 37:36. It starts out in verse 36 and says, then the angel of the Lord, and this is a theophany for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really interesting. I get all kinds of questions from my cardiologist when I go see him. I don't know who he talks to different people, and he said, Pastor Olson, he says, somebody was trying to tell me that Jesus Christ appeared in the Old Testament times. And I said, yeah, he did. What? He did? Yes, he did. It's called a theophany. Theos, God, finote, to appear, the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ prior to the incarnation and virgin birth. Yes, he did. There's lots of theophanies of Jesus Christ appearing in the Old Testament. He's called the angel of the Lord. That was Jesus Christ in theophany. He's the burning bush. That was Jesus Christ in theophany. He was the wrestler who wrestled with Jacob and smote his thigh. He couldn't walk normal after that. And that was because Jesus Christ is the greatest wrestler of all time. By the way, great sport wrestling. Real wrestling, not that crap that's on... I don't know, you got to be insane to go watch that kind of stuff that goes on. But real wrestling, Olympic wrestling, that is fantastic. So here we have a theophany. Theos phaino, an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Then the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, went out and put to death 185,000 soldiers in the Assyrian camp. When the army got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies, 185,000 dead bodies. So, Sennacherib said, this is a bad omen, and turned around and went back home to Nineveh. So Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew and returned to Nineveh and stayed there. Well, he stayed there till his sons assassinated him. Oh, what a great family. It was a lousy Thanksgiving that way. So in the near fulfillment of verse 20, it refers to deliverance from the fifth cycle of discipline, the military invasion of Sennacherib and the Assyrian army, Isaiah 37:36-38. 5. In the far fulfillment of verse 20, it refers to the deliverance from the northern army, the king of the north, the Russians, in the great tribulation, and the blessings of the millennial kingdom following the second advent of Jesus Christ. So in the far fulfillment of verse 20, it refers to deliverance from the northern army, the king of the north, Russia, and the great tribulation, and the blessings of the millennial kingdom following the second advent of Jesus Christ. All right. So we will start at verse 19 next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.